This is the Texas Standard. I'm Laura Rice, in for David Brown. When you go to the doctor, sometimes you have to fill out a form of family medical history, heart disease or diabetes in your grandma, for instance. But how about your great-great-great, well, very, very, very great grandma, Lucy? I'm talking about the famous fossil scientists say is one of the oldest skeletons of an erect walking human ancestor. Her bones were discovered in Ethiopia back in 1974, but until now, we didn't know how she died. Researchers at the University of Texas at Austin led a study to reveal that answer. It's just been published in the journal Nature. UT Austin anthropology and geological sciences professor and lead author on the study, John Kappelman, stopped by the studio to talk about what they found. John, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
I'll let you do the honors since this was your big discovery. How do we think that Lucy died?
You know, it's an interesting story that when we first started to study her skeleton, we were interested in finding out how she lived. Mm-hmm. And so that meant bringing her to Texas. And we were able to get her here on campus in secret for 10 days of 24/7 CT scanning. Now, most fossils are very broken up just by the ravages of time. And here we're looking at something that's over 3 million years old. Much of the skeleton preserves lots of fractures, and those we call postmortem fractures, fractures that occur after death. Mm-hmm. What we identified, though, were a series of breaks that are unusual for fossils. We see these breaks in her ankles, her knee, some at the pelvis, and in her shoulders. These are the sorts of impact fractures that occur, we think, bone to bone. We think that the fractures actually occurred what we call paramortem, so at or around the time of death. The way it forms is generally in a high-energy impact where the hand is outstretched and the force then continues up through the stretched-out arm. In people today, these are commonly seen in car accidents, but the way they commonly happen is in a fall. And you've probably done this as well, where you trip, fall from standing height, the arms are outstretched just instinctively. You hold them out to try to break your fall. That's what commonly causes this accident. There were no cars 3 million years ago, no industrial accidents. So that leaves us then with trees.
So looking at those bones, we have lots of breaks, many, like you say, that happened after she died. Also some that that hadn't healed and apparently happened right before death. And so that's how we figure out that she fell. And you say she fell from a tree. And that's significant, I guess, in this as well.
Yeah. And that's one of our questions, is why would she be in a tree? Well, at night, at least, it would make good sense to go up in the trees to nest, to get away from predators, and especially things like leopards that like to climb trees. We see that behavior in chimpanzees, that they also nest in the trees, at least for predator avoidance. So minimally then, that argues that she probably went up a tree at night, slept there during the night, came down in the morning. And she may have done that every single day of her life.
So all we have left of Lucy is her bones. And you've discovered that it looks like it's a fall that killed her, but none of the bone breaks were necessarily fatal. Do we kind of fill in the blanks there and say maybe it was an internal bleeding that actually was the cause of death, or what's your analysis there?
And when we look across the skeleton, it was a hard hit. That's what we're proposing. And you know, this is a hypothesis that we're putting out there that we think can be tested. It's certainly examined in more detail than it has been in the last 42 years when we've just assumed that all these breaks happened in a typical fossil fashion. But that's one of the other things with a fall, is that we term these vertical deceleration events because, as you know, it's not the fall that kills you, it's the impact that does. When the body comes forward, the heart, for example, can be literally squished between the sternum and the spine. When the head hits and there's a hard fracture there, the brain can be injured. So when we look at the overall pattern and severity of the fractures through the skeleton, I think it's not assuming very much to say that, yes, there were probably major internal organs that were damaged here as well. And in looking at this, I think that death followed very swiftly after this fall.
So you brought this box of replica bones in there, and I understand those with access to 3D printers can actually get a copy themselves?
Right. The Ethiopian government, in this case, agreed to release these files. So this is the first time that any of the record for human evolution in Ethiopia, which is a very rich, vast record, really, has been released to the public. So anyone can go to our website, www.elucy.org, download these files, print them out, articulate the bones, hold them together, and actually thoroughly evaluate our hypothesis. It doesn't matter if it's a third grade class or some university students. Everyone can see these. And it's just really pleasing to me that here little Lucy is leading the charge on the open sharing of digital data.
Tell me about how, in a way, the discovery of how Lucy died made her, if not more human, more relatable to you.
You know, I've lectured on this fossil, taught this fossil for 30 years. And, you know, I love all of my fossils equally. It's kind of like your kids, right? But this is a special one. But she was still, you know, a box of bones. She's actually three boxes of bones in Ethiopia. There's so much of her that it takes lots of boxes to be able to curate her safely. But in looking at this, when I first, this idea first crystallized about how this impact may have happened, and again, this is a hypothesis that we're putting out there, I could, in my mind's eye, picture the fall, picture that last conscious act that she had of stretching the arms out in the same way that we do. And it was that connection for me, understanding her death, that in a very odd way brought her back to life. And it's something that, again, we can all relate to when we were walking as little kids, coming off of a ladder, going downstairs, maybe even out of a tree. But in this one, it was really a better understanding of how she died that breathed life back into those three boxes of bones.
Professor John Kappelman's research was published in the journal Nature. You can see some of their discoveries for yourself at elucy.org. We'll have a link up at texasstandard.org. Thanks again, John.
Thanks for having me.